Start your morning with the breakfast wrap from McDonald's. A tortilla wrap with sausage, egg and bacon, cheese, potato rosti, and ketchup or brown sauce.
Sorry, I'll do that again.
Our breakfasts are freshly prepared, even if you're not. McDonald's. We make breakfast. Served before 10:30 a.m.
With the gods as our witnesses, let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face! Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah!
Welcome, fight fans, to another edition of In the Square Circle with Felipe León. I am Felipe León, and this is your 31st edition of In the Square Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of everything boxing for the last week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. I am the co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, on our YouTube channel, boxeotijuana.com/TV or youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana, or even on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Boxeo Tijuana. You can see us there every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. with my partner Renzo Novara, also international editor of fightnews.com, and every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, every other Thursday, the 2-minute round with David Avila, former fighter Lena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, where we give you everything that has to do with female boxing. This week, we have this show this Thursday, which will be the 25th. And they just confirmed that we will have Heather Hardy, the new WBC International Featherweight Champion, who beat a fellow undefeated or previously undefeated, Shelly Vincent, this past Sunday night from Coney Island on the NBC Sports Network. But before we go into the fight results, let's go into Hooks and Jabs, where we give you all the latest news.
Queremos quién es el más macho.
Earlier this week, or last week, two-divisional world champion Timothy Bradley of Palm Springs, California, extended his exclusive contract with Top Rank. Both camps mentioned it was the right move and that there are a number of fights left for Bradley with the company. No word when he will be back in the ring after his last fight, which was a loss to Manny Pacquiao. His wife, who also is his manager, mentioned that they're looking for a fight in late 2016 or early 2017, but no fighters were mentioned. Hopefully now that Bob Arum and Top Rank have come to some kind of agreement regarding their lawsuit with the Premier Boxing Champion Series and Al Haymon, maybe we could see some welterweight fights there for Timothy Bradley, because as far as the Top Rank stable, it's kind of shallow in that division, being that the only other name there, it might be Jesse Vargas, but with the PBC, there could be fights made with Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia or some of that ilk, or even Kell Brook, which all three of those fights are pretty good for Timothy Bradley. In the hopes of offering one competitive fight on their September 17th pay-per-view card, Golden Boy Promotions announced an interesting bout between Gabriel Rosado and Willie Monroe Jr. for the semi-main event of Saul Canelo Alvarez's challenge of the WBO super welterweight champion Liam Smith at the Cowboy Stadium in Dallas, Texas. This fight was made after the heavyweight fight between WBA interim champion Luis Ortiz and Alexander Usyk fell to the wayside, as well as an appearance by WBO middleweight champion Billy Joe Saunders. Also on the card will be Jojo Diaz versus Andrew Gancio and Diego de la Hoya versus Orlando del Valle. If you guys keep up with the boxing news, you guys would know by now that Billy Joe Saunders actually said no to both Gabriel Rosado and Willie Monroe Jr., as well as Curtin Stevens, when it was offered to him by Golden Boy Promotions in hopes of putting Billy Joe Saunders on this September 17th card and then having him face Canelo Alvarez in December. But now Billy Joe Saunders is out of the game, and Golden Boy did the right thing and the easiest thing in putting Gabriel Rosado against Willie Monroe Jr., and that's going to be the semi-main event on September 17th. Not really pay-per-view worthy, but quite possibly the most competitive and interesting fight on the card. After an extensive investigation by the WBC regarding his positive test for the recently banned substance meldonium, the organization distributed a press release that explained there weren't enough evidence for WBC number one ranked heavyweight Alexander Povetkin, that there wasn't enough evidence that Povetkin took the substance after January 1st when the ban went down, despite coming up positive. Because of that, the WBC ordered a fight between the number one ranked Povetkin versus number two ranked former champion Bermain Stiverne, since the champion Deontay Wilder is out for the rest of the year because of injuries suffered in his last fight against Chris Arreola. The camps of Povetkin and Stiverne have until September 16th to come to an agreement, or else it will go to purse bid. More than likely, that fight will go to Russia. Since all clues point out that fight between WBO, IBF, WBA light heavyweight champion Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward indeed will take place on November 19th on HBO pay-per-view from Las Vegas, the network has declined to distribute the pay-per-view fight between Manny Pacquiao and WBO champion Jesse Vargas set for November 5th. Ex-lawyer Bob Arum stated the contract between the Filipino superstar and the network is now null and void as far as he sees it. And, well, that leaves with Bob Arum, who is no stranger to putting on his own pay-per-view fights, to find a new platform for the pay-per-view. Obviously, HBO was a little bit weary of putting on distributing the fight, since if everything goes down as planned for the fall-winter, you would have November 5th, Manny Pacquiao against Jesse Vargas, November 19th, Andre Ward against Sergey Kovalev, and then early December, Miguel Cotto against a fighter to be named. If they end up finding a fighter, that's going to be on pay-per-view as well. So you would have three pay-per-views on HBO in 5 weeks, and that just can't happen. The fact that Manny Pacquiao's pay-per-views have not been what they've been in the past when he was one of the pay-per-view kings, as well as Jesse Vargas being the opponent and perhaps not Terrence Crawford, is probably reason enough for HBO to give it a pass. Bob Arum said that he has touched bases with different platforms, including Netflix, to perhaps help distribute the HBO. And now finally, deviating a little bit away from the sport of boxing, but still staying in combat sports, I'm not a big, huge MMA fan. I could probably count the fights that I've seen in that sport on one hand. But I have seen a couple of the Ronda Rousey fights, especially when he lost against Holly Holm, being that Holly Holm was a former boxer. I did see the first Nate Diaz against Conor McGregor fight. And for this last fight that just happened on Saturday night, the rematch between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, I've actually made a point to go to a local bar here in Tijuana, Mexico, where I reside, and to watch the fight. Kind of got caught up in the whole, you know, it seemed like these guys really, really disliked each other, and I kind of got caught up in all that, and I saw the press conference where they threw water bottles at each other, so I really wanted to watch this fight because the first one was also very entertaining. To me, the whole ground game of the MMA or the UFC or whatever you want to call it, it's something that really is not that appealing to me. I like when they stand up and box or fight, even though their skill level is obviously not as good as a full-time boxer. But in this fight, it was very entertaining. I was very impressed. It's possibly the best MMA fight I've ever seen in my whole life. And like I mentioned, I haven't seen that many of them. But I was entertained from the beginning bell to the end of the bell. And I was even cheering for Nate Diaz to take Conor McGregor down to the ground, since I thought that that would be the best bet for him to win the fight. Lo and behold, Conor McGregor did win the fight. I did see him land the better and bigger punches, as it was evident on Nate Diaz's fight. So, I mean, face. But, you know, I just wanted to touch bases because I read our colleague Steve Kim's article earlier this week on he didn't watch the fight, but he had read on Twitter that it was a great fight, and kind of touched bases on the fact that UFC, more than boxing at this point, is giving the fans what they want to see, which is the fights that the fans want to see, and that's something that we did get between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. So let's see what happens next for them. If they do have the rematch, I'll be more than happy to grab a stool at that local bar that I went to and watch the third fight. So with that said, we go to our fight results, where we give you what happened in the last week in boxing. All right, on Friday, August 19th, from Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, California, Golden Boy Promotions presented on Estrella TV two pretty good fights. Iván Delgado stopped Alejandro Rocha in the eighth round of a super featherweight bout. It was a good little mix-up between the both. Iván Delgado looked very aggressive. Alejandro Rocha did as well, but Delgado kept scoring that left hook, which ended up being the downfall of Ochoa. Ochoa was down in round 1 and 7, and Delgado was swelling under the right eye from the third round. Good fight on the co-main event. Vyacheslav Chingonsky-Chabransky scored a third-round knockout over Oscar Riojas in an eight-rounder at light heavyweight. Riojas was cut in the second round and down in the third when the referee stopped the fight. That was a pretty good fight as well. Same night from the Rhino Stadium in Rochester, New York, Salida and Cohen Promotions on Showtime presented the Big Baby, a big baby weighing almost 300 pounds for this heavyweight fight. Gerald Miller retiring Fred Cassie after the third round after Cassie hurt his right hand, but it was only inevitable that the Big Baby was going to knock him out because he was landing some very big punches. I like this Big Baby Miller, very athletic for his size, good technique. I think he is a someone to keep an eye on, and hopefully a couple more fights and he could challenge for a world title maybe early next year against the likes of Anthony Joshua or somebody of that ilk. Cassie hurt his right hand. With the win, Gerald Miller defended his WBO NABO heavyweight title. And on the semi-main event, Antonio Nieves got a split draw over Tijuana's Alejandro Santiago in a 10-rounder for the WBO NABO super bantamweight title. With the draw, Antonio Nieves keeps the title. The scores were 96-94 for Nieves, 96-94 for Santiago, and an even 95-95. I saw the Tijuana fighter closing out the show a little bit stronger than Nieves, and I kind of lean towards him with the 96-94, but I could see why it could be a draw. On Saturday, August the 20th, from the Komagatani Gym in Japan, we have a new world champion in Katsunari Takayama, the Japanese veteran who scored a technical decision after 6 rounds. The refs stopped the cuts suffered by Takayama. They went to the cards, and the scores were 59-56, 58-56, and 59-55. For Takayama, he is the vacant WBO strawweight champion. If you haven't had a chance to see this fighter in action, he's a little bit long in the tooth, but he gives great fights. He gave a great fight against a Mexican fighter by the name of Mario El Dragoncito Rodriguez. Went to his hometown in Guasave, Sinaloa, and got the win there. For that fight was, I believe, for the WBO 105 title. Then he fought Chivas Rodriguez, Francisco Chivas Rodriguez, in his hometown in Monterrey. And I think that fight was either a draw or Takayama won. And then, obviously, now back in Japan, Takayama winning the strawweight WBO title. And the same night, Saturday night, from Centro de Convenciones in Acapulco, Mexico, Marcos Villasana got a disqualification win in the 10th round against Filipino Roseki Cristobal. With the win, he defended his WBC Latino lightweight title. Cristobal was down in the 5th, and Cristobal lost a point for a low blow in the 8th, and when he continued to do it in the 10th, he was disqualified. While the IBF welterweight champion Carlos King Molina scored a unanimous decision over Carlos Gorham in an 8-rounder at welterweight. Scores were 80-72 three times. From over here close to in Ensenada, from the Vineros del Valle de Guadalupe, Sanford on the Azteca channel gave us undefeated 19-year-old Carlos Chema Ocampo scored a unanimous decision over Alvaro Robles in a 10-rounder at welterweight. Scores were 192 times and 98-92, while number one ranked super middleweight Jose Uzcategui scored a second round knockout against Brazilian Fabiano Peña in a scheduled 10-rounder at super middleweight. And on Sunday, from the Ford Amphitheater in Coney Island in New York, DeBella Entertainment presented on NBC Sports Errol Spence winning the bid in IBF Eliminator. Now he is the number one contender and has called out the champion there, Kell Brook, when he stopped, formerly unstopped, Leonard Bundu in the 6th round of a scheduled 12. Errol Spence didn't have it wasn't a walk in the park. Boondu started off very aggressively in the beginning of the fight, but around the fourth, fifth round, Spencer was able to impose his style, score more accurately, and then finally land some big punches in the sixth round and stop Boondu cold. And like I mentioned with the win, Spence now is officially number one ranked welterweight for the IBF. He wants Kell Brook. Kell Brook first will be facing Gennady Golovkin on September 10th. It's not for his title, being that the fight is at middleweight. So if he wins, he would have to face Errol Spence next. If he loses, he would have to face Errol Spence next. But if he wins, the IBF has given him 10 days to decide whether he's going to stay at middleweight or go back down to welterweight. And if he decides to go back to down to welterweight, he would have to face Spence Jr. If he decides to stay at 160, then Errol Spence will fight the number two ranked fighter. And that is the fight results for last week. And now we're going to go to the upcoming calendar. On Tuesday, August the 23rd, from the Sands Bethlehem Event Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Kings Promotions and the PBC on Fox Sports 1 give us Caleb Plant versus Juan de Angel in a 10-rounder at 168 pounds. Whereas on Saturday, August 27th, from the Arena Coliseo in Mexico City, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa gives us Mariana Juarez, very famous Mariana Barbie Juarez, one of the veteran Mexican fighters, female Mexican fighters, will be facing Argentinian Daniela Bermudez in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBC International Bantamweight title. While on the semi-main event, Eduardo Hernandez will face Filipino Ray Juntilla in a 10-rounder at Super Featherweight. While on the competing channel on Azteca, Sanford gives us former Bantamweight champion Yasmin La Rosita Rivas going for the interim WBC 10 bantamweight title in a 10-rounder against Jessica Gonzalez. That's a rematch. And from the Hana Center in Anaheim, California, TJB and the PBC on Spike TV gives us Roberto Guerrero, Robert the Ghost Guerrero, versus David Peralta in a scheduled 10-rounder at welterweight. The return of Alfredo El Perro Angulo against Freddy El Real Hernandez in a 10-rounder at, get this, super middleweight. And then Terrell Gausha versus Steven Martinez in a 10-rounder at middleweight. And from the Churchill County Fairgrounds in Fallon, Nevada, Top Rank and Unimas gives us Miguel Marriaga versus Guy Robb in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBO NABO featherweight title. While Jose Felix Jr. of Los Mochis, Mexico, will face Robert Franco in a 10-rounder at lightweight. And that is the fights for this upcoming weekend. A little bit more action, but obviously as we go into September, we're going to get a lot more action with that big September 10th fight card with Gennady Golovkin against Kell Brook and Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez against Carlos Cuadras. And then on September 17th, we got the return of Saúl El Canelo Álvarez against WBC Super Welterweight Champion Liam Smith. And then a lot more to come in the month of September. Before we go, let's give you the rundown of here, the Living in the Ring Network. Every Monday night at 4 p.m. Pacific, you got the next round with Steve Kibb and Gabriel Montoya. Every Tuesday, you have this show, In the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of all boxing that is going on for the week. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, you got the flagship show, Leave It in the Ring, with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya. And then every other week, you get the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. We have our next show this August the 25th, this upcoming Thursday, where we have been confirmed that we will get WBC International Featherweight Champion Heather Hardy on the show from her big win this past weekend over fellow previously undefeated Shelly Vincent on NBC Sports. One of the first fights to be, female fights to be broadcast in a long time on TV anywhere in the United States. With that said, we thank you for listening to the 31st episode of In the Squared Circle. And with that, until next week.
Start your morning with the breakfast wrap from McDonald's, a tortilla wrap with sausage, egg and bacon, cheese, potato rosti, and ketchup or brown sauce.
Sorry, I'll do that again.
Our breakfasts are freshly prepared, even if you're not. McDonald's. We make breakfast. Served before 10:30 a.m.